Before we start, I just wanted to take a minute and thank you guys for leaving a review, whether you're leaving it for the podcast, for the ebook. It really means a lot. That is really the way that people find me. So for example, here's an awesome review from Crady. She said, insightful and informative. I listened to episode number 21. The interview answered a lot of the questions I've had on the subject. The interview was clear and the progression was smooth, which added to the experience. Thank you so much, Astrid. So reviews like that make me very happy because I want to know what it is that you guys want to know about, what you want to learn about. Crady, I cannot tell you how important it is to have people like you to take, you know, a minute out of their day and see how they feel, whether it's about the podcast, my articles, or my website. Like I said, in December, I created Healthy Gift Ideas. There are several on my website. You could go and find them. I have an ebook in case you're not aware. It's called The Top 10 Foods for a Super Healthy Lymphatic System, which I am an army of one, which seemed to have an awesome group of people join me little by little. So I'm just trying to continue to get you guys the good stuff always. So thank you so much for it. I've managed to work with some of my partners. Head on over to the website and check the gift guides or the resources page. Also on Instagram, I have a highlight exclusively for those savings. This year, I have exclusive discount codes that Heal You Naturally gets. For example, with BioTrust, some of my amazing partners, Good State, Real Mushrooms. These are all phenomenal partners that care about the environment and their products. So they've shared that with me and I negotiated some of them for you guys who follow me. And for my new listeners, go ahead and check them out. This episode number 30 is about youth wellness expert shares her secrets on hacking your body system to gain health and why our genes load the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. Let's get into the show. Hey everyone, today my guest is Dr. Denise Bujalins. Her real name is Denise Hunter, MD, and she's an adolescent wellness specialist and has been a medical doctor for over 20 years. She's a board certified in internal medicine and lifestyle medicine and has completed hours of training towards board certification in functional medicine. She also has been a youth leader for over 30 years and a trained youth motivational speaker. Her training, improv, and storytelling helps her presentations to be delightfully engaging. Dr. Denise also currently serves on the Wake County, North Carolina Public School Student Health Advisory Council. Welcome to the Heal You Naturally Wellness Podcast, Dr. Denise.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to our conversation.
I know. It's a pleasure having you. I'm very excited. It's the first time I actually have a youth counselor and actually a doctor of your caliber. So super excited. And let's get right into it.
So, all right, let's do it.
Yes. So briefly tell us about your journey into youth wellness, biohacking, and what inspired you to become an MD?
Oh, how much time do we have?
we have about the afternoon.
I can be super wordy, so I'll keep it as brief as we can without boring your listeners. Listen, I'm from Jamaica originally. And back in the day, when you were a smart young girl, they expected you to become a doctor and a pediatrician, to be specific.
Oh, wow.
So that was just put in my head from the time that I was young when I showed up as a smart young woman. And over the years, I wanted to be an artist. Then I wanted to be a math teacher. When I graduated high school, I dropped the artist. Mm-hmm. And then I still wanted to be a math teacher and a doctor. And then after some time, the math teacher thing just dropped away and I settled on doctor. I'm sorry, it doesn't sound more romantic than that, but that's exactly what it was. But you know what? The truth is, it was actually exactly where I needed to be. It's my calling. I always say to people, if I needed to go through that whole, 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of medical school, 3 years of residency, if I had to do all that again, just to be right where I am today, I would absolutely do it.
Awesome.
And so that's my journey to being a medical doctor. And then in addition to that, where I developed this passion for youth, I have just always been in my churches involved in youth ministry. Even when I myself was a teenager, when I was young myself, I've always been in youth leadership in churches. And that's just been a huge part of my life. And gosh, maybe about 13 years ago, I decided to put those two passions together, my passion for youth and my passion for health and wellness, decided to put them all together and create Wisdom Teethinger, which is a company committed to keeping teens and 20s forever well and wise.
Oh, I love that. Love, love, love it. Listen, when you were talking about your journey, I'm actually a web developer by trade. And, you know, with the economy kind of crashed in 2009, I was laid off and all that. And I took a negative into a positive. And that's how my website was also born. I developed it myself and started, you know, doing research on functional medicine, naturopathic medicine, all the research on that aspect. So, you know, when your calling is calling you, you just go for it. It doesn't.
You gotta listen. You gotta listen. Right? It keeps you up, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Oh my God. You're actually correct. Like I was just kind of, you know, you start brainstorming. And it's like, what do I do? You know, I was still looking for a job in the industry, but deep inside, I was like, this is what I want to do. And that's what you do. Turn a negative into a positive. So thank you so much for explaining. I love the concept and we need more of you. You know, for our youth, especially right now, you know, things have been really tough. But we'll get into that a little later. Let's just kind of like go back to my first question. So what can you share with my listeners, your four mantras, if you will? I was going over your website and I found this really fascinating. You have mind, mouth, moves and rest. And why are they so important for optimal health in general, but in the youth?
Definitely. So with Wisdom Teethinger, my company, we have several products that are specifically developed for wellness. We have a product specifically for athletes. Athletes that desire need a little bit of something different. They're already physically super active and muscular and those things. And so they need a little bit more help with their wellness, a specific kind of help. I have a product designed for people dealing with anxiety, and body hacking, which you spoke about before, is a product specifically designed for people who are trying to get to their ideal body size. And then I also have Fount, which is a product that I mostly teach in schools, where it's just teaching overall general health. And so the four mantras that you mentioned are from our specific product called Body Hacking. And body hacking is hacking your body system for health gain and to get to your ideal body size. The four mantras we talk about is your mind, where the mental aspect of what you eat. Sometimes we think about food all the time and don't realize that the thought process, our thought about food, how it affects how we eat and how much we eat. Your mouth, what you're eating, how much of it you're eating, when you're eating, all those are super important things if you're trying to have a healthy body. And your moves, of course, exercising, moving your body, when to exercise, how much of it to do, what specific exercise to do, and your rest. Most people don't really think about rest and sleep as important when they're trying to get to their ideal body size. But honestly, to me, if I had to say anything of those things were important, if I had to rank them in order, I would say your mind is first and then your rest is second. The moves and mouth are important, but that's how I would rank it. Rest is super important.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. You know, I always talk about in my podcasts on how with me, because of the line of work that I used to do, working at night, coding and stuff like that, usually they gravitate towards working at night. So, and I also, for some reason, became like the night owl. At some point in my teens, and it just progressed. And to this day, I'm working on that. It's so easy for me to stay up until 2, 3, 4 in the morning working. It's my preferred time, and it's detrimental. It's detrimental to your health.
our body has like a built-in clock called our circadian rhythm. And, you know, yes, because of habits and because of work and different things, we can override it. But honestly, you know, there's always an optimal way that our body wants to work. And optimally, it wants to work in the day and sleep at night.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is. Like, we really want to adhere to that. Just piggybacking a little bit on that. When it comes to, because I think this is important, especially now that our schedule's a little all crazy with the pandemic and a lot of people working from home. I worked from home. From home for a long time, but this is new to other people. So how, and for example, for parents of teenagers, what would be a way for them to help them cope with tying up the mind, the mouth, the moving and the rest during these times? Like, what would be something that you would recommend for them to implement? So younger adults can kind of stay in, you know, on track, if you will.
Well, you know, funny you should say that. I've got a 13-year-old son living in my house.
Oh, there you go. Nobody better than
I actually have three little boys. I have 13, 11, and 9.
Oh, that's awesome. Minus 10. So we could relate. Oh,
see, we're right in there. We're right in there in that clutch. We're suffering together. No, suffering. The parents don't suffer.
No.
We raise our children. I'm just kidding.
It's like, yeah, we suffer sometimes. I'm with you.
But honestly, what I do, I lead by example. I make sure I myself am being careful about the things I eat. I make sure I manage my stress well. I make sure I am exercising. I make sure I am sleeping at a good time. And then I can turn around and with a good conscience require it of them. Like, I mean, real life example, yesterday, which was Wednesday, I came home, like, y'all haven't been outside in 2 days. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up because they're doing in school, online, they're on the computer the whole day, then they're finished. They may sit down and do this and that. And before you know, 2-3 days, you're inside the house. And oh, I said, you all need to get outside. So it's just being mindful of the things that their bodies need and reminding them as the parent, as the adult.
Right. I agree with you. I actually do it with my son all the time. I even during all this whole thing, we went to the beach, we went for hikes, you know, the trails and things like that. And I always encourage them, go outside. You know, it's nice, especially even if it's nice, bundle up and just go play, go, you know, take a bike ride, your skate, whatever you want to do, play with your neighbors, but get out of the house. That was a great tip. Thank you so much. Now let's jump to the next question. I was going over one of your posts on Instagram and this really caught my attention. One of your posts said, "Jeans load the gun, lifestyle pulls the trigger." This is the first time I hear this. So I really loved it. And can you tell us why we aren't victims of our genes and how can we change the course of potential disease? I've talked about this in my previous podcasts because genes don't determine the outcome. And so I thought this was really cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. It's exactly what it says. Genes load the gun, lifestyles pull the trigger. I would love to say that was me that came up with that. And maybe I'll just say it. I came up with it. No, I'm lying. a whole lot. Nobody really knows the origin of that statement, but lots of people have quoted it for years now because we understand that 80% of the diseases that we suffer from right now are because of lifestyle choices, are because smoking, drinking too much, not exercising, not sleeping, not managing your stress, eating the wrong things. 80%.
Wow.
80%. There's a doctor of, what is his name? Is Batma. Oh, goodness. It's a very long name that starts with bat.
Okay.
And he has a book called You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty.
Oh, wow.
And he discovered that a lot of illnesses, people are just underhydrated. Even as a physician, as an internal medicine physician, I like headaches. We know that headaches, a lot of people with headaches, a lot of times there's a hydration issues with a lot of common headaches that people suffer. So many things, even something as simple as a headache could be linked. I'm not saying all the time, this could be linked to you're just not drinking enough water. You're not sleeping enough. You haven't done something. There's something that's missing, a simple little tweak in your lifestyle. And all of a sudden, like you'll be great. You'll be good. And I'm not saying this is for everything, but 80%, that's a significant enough number that to make you want to stop and do some, make some changes.
Absolutely. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I actually wasn't aware that it was 80%, but you know, in the functional medicine, naturopath, you know, the alternative medicine industry, we all know that lifestyle plays a huge role in how disease develops. And, you know, regardless, you know, some of us do have, like, for example, in my family, you know, diabetes, cardiovascular disease. But, you know, that's also why the reason why I started doing this, because to take an active, you know, approach towards preventing, if you will.
And not even feeling victim to this, realizing that, you know, as human beings, we want to feel in somewhat in control of our destiny. No one wants to sit there, oh, you have the genes, so there's nothing you can do about it. That doesn't feel good to me as a human being.
Exactly. Now,
lifestyle just says, here's something that you can do.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So, you know, it's not easy all the time, especially with, like, you know, life gets in the way, family, whatever. But the best thing is that we can always try our best, you know, make lifestyle changes in order to sort of like reverse the course of, you know, it's in my genes.
You know, sometimes people genuinely don't know. And that's one of the big reasons I'm an internal medicine doctor. I see adults only. I don't know if you know what internists are. A lot of people are not familiar with that. I'm a primary care physician that mostly take care of adults. That's one of the main reasons that why with my wellness company, Wisdom Teethinger, I decided to focus on teens, because I realized that by the time people are seeing me, they are so wrapped up in some of these habits that are just so hard to let go. I have patients coming there that want to, with everything that burns inside their soul, Dr. DeNice, Dr. Hunter, whichever one you want to call me, I want to change. And they just think they can't, because they're so wrapped up in this habit. They've identified this habit as them. And that's why I really focus on teens, to really try to cut that before they even develop some of these things, to educate them on the things that you can do to really have a great life and a great body without having to worry about some of these things. Because when you're not healthy, that is no joke.
Oh yeah. If you don't feel well, you know, I've been there, you know, back pain, things like that. Even I was an athlete in high school, and eventually if you don't continue, or if you sit for a long period of time, whatever the case may be, like you said, I love that, because, you know, I talk a lot about prevention on my website and my podcasts. Prevention is key, prevention. But I love this, that you are focusing even better in the younger generation, so they start early. And, you know, again, always talk about that, you know, with our children and stuff like that. You know, it all starts at home, like you said, you know, setting an example for them, feeding them the right foods. Sometimes it's very easy and convenient to go out there to a fast food chain, I guess, occasionally, because it's not about judging, you know, depending on your circumstances. But just try, even if you go to one of those places, try to get something that's, I don't know, something that it's on the healthier side. But usually, you know, teaching them how to cooking with them, teaching them what foods make your body feel a certain way. You know, I learned that on a podcast recently, not to the good and the bad foods, right? Like trying not to tell them this is bad, this is good, you know, because it becomes a little bit of an issue eventually. I don't know how you feel about that.
You know, I I'm a big proponent of good and bad foods. I know that
you are.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm Jamaican and we speak very frankly. We just very direct with our English, and you know, let the chips fall where they may. Figure it out after that. If it hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. But I'm somewhere in the middle. I won't say I'm the most Jamaican in my communication, but that part is there, where there's a directness I really want to have with my patients. I don't want you to ever feel that there's something that you're doing for your doing that is good for you that is not. I would never tell somebody that smoking is good for you. I'll never say that. I would never that taking a line of cocaine is good for you. I would never say that. I mean, is it equivalent to having a hamburger? Maybe not. But I would never tell somebody that having a greasy burger is good for them. I would never say that. I would say, if you want to eat it, enjoy it, but don't feel that you're doing something good for yourself. I don't really believe that. And I understand that that's a definite a movement, but as a physician, I just can't line up with that fully. I understand where it's coming from. You don't want people to have a complex, but I just definitely don't want people to ever think that they're doing something good for themselves when in truth it isn't. Just accept the reality of it that, you know what? I want to have a donut today because I just feel like having a donut, and it is what it is. You don't have to assign it anything. Mm-hmm. Just have it and move on with your life. For myself, I know that for my family, Our diet is about 90% clean. We cook everything. We get and not everybody can afford it, but I understand that we get our organic groceries. We cook everything from scratch. And the day, like I had, I mean, confession is good for, so I had ice cream and cake for breakfast today. I felt no guilt about it. I sat there and savored it because that's what my spirit needed. Because what?
You're clean.
90% of my diet is perfect. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't really subscribe to fooling yourself that you're doing good things for yourself when you're not. Just say it's something that you need at the time and the rest of your diet is going to be great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I actually applaud you for doing that, you know, and I actually am like that myself, you know, like I always tell my friends, like, if you want me to tell you what you want to hear, I'm not the person to ask, because I'm going to tell you if you care about someone, you're going to tell them the truth, you know, like this is something that you're doing is not good for your health. Just try to make changes, whatever. But what I was referring with the good and bad, I was talking to someone, another functional medicine doctor, or one of my coach, I believe. And he was saying, like, with the children, be careful with the good and bad. But this was his approach. He's like, I try to tell them more like this food makes your body feel a certain way, or you're going to have a certain outcome type of thing. And it made me think about it because, you know, children are always paying attention. And so it was something that, you know, something to think about. But
no, that definitely is a good, I mean, I will never discredit that at all, because it is, you ever eat something? I remember when I was in middle school, I ate some cereal with banana in it. Bananas is good, of course. And later on that morning, I threw up for a different reason. But since then, I avoided bananas for about 20 years because I didn't like how it made me feel. So it's the same thing. Like, if you eat something and it didn't make your body feel good, that's a great motivation to stay away from something. Right. And so it requires you to be really in tune with how your body feels after you eat something. Sometimes you eat something that's really high in processed flour and it causes bloating. You're like, you're not really killing yourself to go have it the next time, because exactly. It just doesn't make your body feel good. So I subscribe to that also, though. There's somewhere in the middle where we all can meet and be and live healthy and happy.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And the most important is what you said, I always also am a proponent of listen to your body, how you feel. And I know a handful of people that, you know, they ate a particular food and it makes you feel a certain way. And actually, this is something that maybe we could bring up when, and you could actually correct me if I'm wrong. If you, sometimes when your body feels, when you eat something and you have either an allergic reaction or you feel a particular way, and even is your body kind of obviously telling you, you know, I don't like this food. It's not, I don't agree. It doesn't agree with how you feel. Right. And eventually you stop eating that food. A lot of times people say, well, it's an allergic reaction. It could it be an allergic reaction, or is just instinctively, you just don't feel well eating that and you'll start rejecting it.
Yeah. You know, it could be a combination of all those. It could be that it's not something I needed at the time. It could be that there was a true allergic reaction. There's something in there, either the ingredient in the food itself or the way the food was made, that your body just did not find appealing. It could be a whole combination of those things.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you for answering that. We're going to move on to the next question. Also, one of your other posts that caught my attention, you were talking about body positivity. Mm-hmm. So what do we talk about that and why we really need to dig deeper? Teenagers, especially when it comes to this body positivity thing.
Yeah, that kind of goes with what I was talking about before in the previous question, where it's important to have good self-esteem and to feel good about yourself. That is super important. The work doesn't stop there. I think the post that you were referring to is one where I had a picture of me dressed up in an 80s aerobics outfit. And I said, body positivity requires that you treat your body positively.
And take action, which
it doesn't,
I totally agree.
Exactly. It just doesn't stop at, oh, I feel good about myself and this is how I'm going to stay. No, there's some action that's required there. And before we even talk about, I'm going to talk about my own self for a second.
Sure, sure.
When I was a teenager, I was an overweight teen. I was. At 15 years old, I probably was about, for my height, I was about 50, 60 pounds overweight. I really was. If I could flip up a picture for you, I would have, but just trust me on this one. I actually have it on my Instagram page on a post if your listeners wanted to go back and find me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But something during that, at 15, shortly after that, I turned 16, I lost weight. I lost down to about 50, 60 pounds, and my body felt so much better. But here's the thing, when I back up to the overweight Dr. D. Nice, I felt good about myself. I didn't have a low self-esteem or anything, but I was not treating my body positively. I was not maximizing the greatness that my body has. And there's another example I have where I see with body positivity. I know, do you know Lizzo, the artist?
No, I do not.
Yeah, she's a musician and she is kind of the face of body positivity. She's a heavier set. Well, you know, technically the face. A lot of people put her out as the face of it. And okay. She's a heavier set woman. And several months ago, she decided that she wanted to get in better shape. She started exercising more. She started taking better care of herself. And a lot of people in the body positivity world were mad at her.
Are you kidding me?
Actually cyber bullying her and being mean to her because she decided to do healthy changes. So that made me think, like, that's actually one of the things that inspired the post that I made, because I'm like, so what is body positivity then? Is body positivity just something that you just think about and there's not there? You shouldn't exercise to make your body feel good. You shouldn't sleep well. You shouldn't nourish your body well. Is body positivity only something that hangs out in your head?
Wow, that's a very good point. And, you know, I cannot help. Listen, I'm always all about, transparency, vulnerability. I am active myself. You know, I try my best, but I've always battled with weight. Once I had my son, it got even tougher. The sleeping, working at night, it got even, you know, it doesn't help, whatever, but I'm always working towards that. it's not something that I say, well, I'm just going to eat all this unhealthy food and I'm just going to sit here. And so I think about that body positivity. And I wanted to talk about that because, you know, we have children. Are my listeners, some of you have children and some of you will have children. And this is actually crucial on how body positivity doesn't mean that you're going to be unhealthy. And because of the name of the movement, you're going to stay like that. It is not a good approach towards how you're going to end up in your later years. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm empathetic with you. I always like to say I had three kids in my old age. I had all three of my children after 35, and that threw my hormones to an absolute loop. Mm-hmm. Loop. Mm-hmm. And right now, I mean, I carry a few extra pounds on my body now than I feel I should. I don't know. Maybe this is where my body needs to be. I'm not sure, but you know, I take really good care of myself and I feel good. And so I'm like, you know what? Anytime my body is ready to release those extra pounds, it'll release it. And if it doesn't, you know, this is probably where it wants to be. But mm-hmm. Yeah, but really just understanding when you're being body positive, and I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. I am all for body positivity. I think it's important because there was a time where people were shamed for being on a journey. You don't know where somebody is. I'm looking at myself when I was 15 and I decided to lose that weight. Let's say somebody saw me after I lost 10 pounds and was thinking, oh gosh, she's so fat, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they don't know that I'm already on a journey. They don't know what I'm working on. So you can't really look at somebody and make assumptions about where they are with their health. That's where I am fully on board with body positivity. You can't look at somebody and judge them, but there definitely needs to be some inner work and some inner action to make sure you're treating your body positively as well as being body positive.
Right. Excellent. That's a really nice approach. again, myself, you know, I'm all for it, but we got to be proactive when it comes to our health, you know, how we feel, regardless of what you want to look like. For me, it's never been about what I look like. It's more about how I feel, what my body looks like inside. And, you know, for the most part, you know, when you look at my lab work, everything looks good, except some of the issues with the insulin resistance like that I started developing after my 40s. So always working on that. But awesome. Thank you for answering that. Now we're going to move on to the next question, which is on, we already kind of talked about that. What are some of the key changes parents can make along with their teenagers and children to stay healthy during the pandemic? I don't know if you want to do.
We touched on earlier about making sure you're getting outside and do what I say and not what I do. Because apparently I have my exactly. kids locked up in the house for 3 days. No, I'm just kidding. it's hard to sometimes just, you get in this routine and this rut, but I would say schedule. Let's put it on the schedule. We're going outside at 12 o'clock. We're going outside at 6 o'clock. We're going to play for an hour. Put these things, get them built into the schedule, especially since teens, especially they, you know, before, if you think about the whole process of going to school, you get up in the morning, you may walk to the school bus, you may walk to whatever transportation. Then when you're at school, you're walking from class to class, you're walking during lunch, you're walking home, you may have practice after school. All those are activities that are no longer on the books. They are no longer in the schedule. You are sitting down all day. And there's some statistics out there. For every hour that you sit, you lose 22 minutes off your lifespan. Every hour, yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I knew that. sorry to cut you off. Sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah.
But 22 hours, ay.
22 minutes. 22 minutes. For every hour, you lose 22 minutes off your lifespan. That's significant.
Oh, yeah.
Get up. What I encourage my kids to do, pick a couple classes that they stand up through. You can encourage your kids to do that. Set a schedule time for you all to go outside and ask them, find a couple of classes that they can stand up while lift their computer up on a computer, a box, however you want to put it up on something so they can stand through that class. Make sure that they're not grazing throughout the day because you're at home. Snacks and everything are more accessible. Have set meal times so they're not grazing throughout the day. Value bedtime, even though you really haven't gone out and do as much. Make sure they have a set bedtime that they're having. And find ways for your teens to be able to socialize with their friends. During the time of teenagehood, this is a very social period, and the socialization is also important to the teen's development. Find ways to allow them to be able to safely socialize with their friends.
Yes. Excuse me. That is so important. I actually do that with my son. I'm like, did you call your friends? I try to do, and if their parents are okay with it, I actually make an effort more than ever now to have play dates. You know, are you okay with going to, let's meet at the park. Let's go for a run. Let's go to the trails. Let's go in a public place and do something, because I was also speaking to Dr. Roseanne Capanna. She's a pediatric psychologist. And, you know, we were talking about the detrimental effects of what this pandemic is going to have on everyone in general, but most important, children.
I don't even know if they're prepared for it. I did a post on it the other day that, yeah. And I mean, it makes sense. We're knee deep in a pandemic. We're just trying to make it through, and, you know, we'll figure it out when we make it through. And I do feel that now, as we have the vaccine out, as we are doing things to decrease the spread of COVID, that we're really looking at some of the consequences that are going to hit. The joblessness have caused issues, and people would have access to healthy food. The effects on teens, mm-hmm. Having access to healthy food because their parents are now not working. Some parents are not working. And definitely the psychological aspect that we won't be able to see how that affected them till maybe years down the road. We'll see. Or maybe, you know, maybe we're absolutely resilient people and we'll be good. We have to always leave room for resilience. We have to.
Right. I was just going to say that, you know, children could be very resilient, I hope. But she was actually saying, you know, I've been doing this for a number of years. And she said, I could see it, you know, some of the statistics, sadly, some suicides and things like that. So we want to, guys, for anyone listening, if you are having a hard time, right now, definitely reach out, you know, to someone. There's always someone willing to listen. Is that correct? Is there something that maybe you would like to share based on your experience with my audience in terms of, you know, if they're having a difficult time, teenagers, since you deal with them more?
Yeah, actually, as you were talking, I have a post where I actually posted the suicide hotline up.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead. Go
look. Yeah, I'm trying to.
Well, you look that up. You know, guys, I always like to use my platform in positive ways. So if you, whether you are an adult, a teenager listening, reach out, you know, for help. You are important. You are loved. You are enough. And always remember that you are someone who is needed in this world for a reason. So if you're having a hard time right now, reach out to me, even, you know, to Dr. D, I'm sure, on our platforms, if you have any questions, if you would like to be directed. So did you find that?
I found it here.
Thank you.
And it's always something Googleable. And I always encourage people, if it's something that you struggle with, don't be afraid to talk to your teens about it. If that's something that you want to invite me back and we can talk specifically about anxiety and depression, the first week of every single month, I commit to anxiety and depression. In stories, I give specific actionable steps that people can take to help with anxiety and depression the first week of every month. That's cool. But the suicide hotline is 1-800 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. That's something that if you're struggling, that you should always keep in your phone. You know, that's just to me the last thing that you want to hear, that somebody committed suicide, when oftentimes it's just your brain doesn't feel well. And if your brain felt well, you would not want to leave this planet. You would not want to leave right now. And if we just help somebody, just pull somebody from that step of taking their life, that is the only way we can help you. And if you take your life, there's no help. I mean, I'm very passionate about anxiety and depression because once again, at 17 years old, I was in a deep suicidal depression for almost 9 months.
Oh, and I'm sorry to hear
to think that if, well, you know what, I'm a super optimistic person. I'm almost happy that I went through that because of that, I developed a passion for teaching teens about anxiety and depression. And I actually can really feel and empathize fully and deeply with what they're feeling and going through and be able to understand, like, you know what, I've been there and I overcame and I went on to do great things with my life. And what would the world do if you weren't here? Don't take your life. Stay with us here and let's help you go through this.
Thank you. That was beautiful. You know, you're 100% correct. You know, when you go through a traumatic experience, those are some of the best counselors out there, you know, some of the best doctors. You know, you've been there, you know how to treat someone, or you know how to talk to someone because you've been down that road. So definitely, guys, thank you for sharing that number. I appreciate it. I actually wrote it down. I'm going to write it on. This was not part of our podcast, just so you know. And I love it because, you know, this is something that just came up, but I thought it was important and I appreciate you being, you know, candid about it. And so I'm going to put that number on Dr. D. Nice's dedicated page on my website where you could, you know, reach out for information. I'm going to look for something else, you know, in case. So, let's see. I think we're moving along pretty good. I wanted to just, since you mentioned this anxiety and depression monthly, let's actually take advantage of this opportunity for those people who, parents or teenagers, whoever that wants to potentially join you because, you know, why not? How can they go about it?
How can they find me on Instagram?
Yes.
I'm at Dr. D. Nice Beaujolin. So at Dr. period D as in dog, N as in Nancy, I C as in cat, E B as in boy, E A U G E L I N. If you get past the Dr. D. Nice, I will pop up. It's important that
if you just write it down. Yeah.
Dr. and the period D Nice, you will find me.
Yeah, it's all going to be there.
I'll have to forewarn people though. Yes, I'm a physician, but honestly, I'm a little quirky, a little crazy. I have my whole personality sprawled out over Instagram. I really do. I'm here to educate as well as entertain. So you just come there with an open mind because I put my whole personality out there.
That's a fun way to do it. Listen, a lot of times people prefer that. I kind of like that idea, you know, like not super, you know, how do you say it? I was going to say strict, but that's not the word. Right.
Stuffy.
Yeah. Not just, you know, like kind of like sometimes let loose a little bit, you know, educating, entertaining, and it goes well together. So awesome. So this basically concludes our podcast. Is there anything that you wanted to close before I talk about where they find you and everything else, Dr. Dina?
Yes, for sure. I have two things I'd like to, body hacking classes. This is a class for teens that are looking to get to health gain and their ideal body size. If you're struggling with your weight, sign up for body hacking classes. It's on my website. The next round of body hacking starts March 18th. Sign up today. Right now we have an introductory rate of $99. That's a medical doctor teaching you 8 classes. That is a steal, but that's an introductory rate. We're not sure how long that will last, but sign up today. And then for free, we also have the anxiety and depression information that I give out on my Instagram every month, the first week of the month. And what I'm also going to add starting in March, also the first Wednesday of every month, I will do an Instagram live where I'll answer your questions about anxiety and depression for free for an entire hour or more if we have to. That's going to start in March. The first Wednesday of every month, I'll be doing an Instagram live in the evening. I'm thinking now it's going to be 6 or 7, but if you start following me on Instagram, I'll keep you posted. So those are the two things: body hacking classes May 18th and anxiety and depression Q&A first Wednesday of every month on Instagram.
Excellent. All right. So you guys do not worry. I am going to, as usually in the show notes, I add all the links to get in touch with my awesome guests, how to reach them on social media, their website, so you could take advantage of what they have to offer. So don't worry about it. So Instagram, you could find her on Dr. D Nice, and that is, she spelled it before. I'm going to put that D Nice. I can't say it.
Beaujolais.
I apologize.
My husband's from Haiti.
Oh, is that Beaujolais?
It's a French name. Beaujolais.
I love the way it sounds. I always butcher the last name.
There's actually a wine named after us.
that's really cool. So, Dr. D Nice, it was an absolute pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, for your energy, and for everything that you're doing for your community and in general for society. Definitely looking forward to having you again. And thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to coming back. You let me know anytime. Anything youth or teen, I'm there for you 100%.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Looking forward to having you again. And you have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care.
Hey guys, so today might be your lucky day. I will be picking a few lucky reviewers. Each will win a copy of my ebook, Top 10 Foods for a Super Healthy Lymphatic System. And you will be chosen randomly, of course, and will be contacted once I pick the winners. So go ahead and give me your best review, honest, obviously, and good luck.